Welcome to the Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just for a reminder on how to join us, we have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And, of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, I have a secondary account called FranzGames where I announce this podcast and many other various news from Franz Games. So, also, this lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds like the Google Play Store and sfuoncall.com website. Some quick news from ADB. There is a jumbo freighter that is coming to the shop on Shapeways, so keep an eye out for that. Steve Cole has been busy on his recovery and also working on Shapeways, the blogs, and also Zenny Master Starship Book graphics, which is good to hear. Steve Petrick is busy working on the SFB module updates and also working on Zenny and Gorn Master Starship books. Gene was also busy working on existing ships on Shapeways and managing your Facebook and the Twitter feed, of course, and also keeping the spammers at bay on the BBS. And just a quick announcement from ADB, due to customer feedback and Shapeway suggestion, we have removed high def black acrylate as a material choice for all of our minis. Your feedback told us that the underside of larger ships was marred by the support system the material needs, obscuring the detail that the ships had. We were not happy with the results. Shapeways technicians informed us that sprued ships such as our gunboats and fighters do not print reliably in one piece. Rather than having you disappointed and your order canceled, we decided to drop that material for these as well. Our main interest is that you are satisfied with what you get from our shop on Shapeways. While we wanted this material to work, it didn't meet our expectations. We hope you understand. So, obviously, that the high-def block acrylate is no longer going to be available. So, just to make sure that you have... obviously, that material was not working out overall, so they pulled it. So a quick reminder, when it comes to conventions, we got the Gamers of Winter 2018 coming up on January 2nd through 14th. This is going to be in Harrisburg, so if you're in the area, please join us. When it comes to the Rat 47 tournament, we actually have quite a good progress. I think it's like 427. There was an error in turn four, but Paul and Jared seem to have come up with a solution, and Bill Scheller seems to be happy with that solution. Moving forward, when it comes to the final matchup, when it comes to the World League, which is Krieg versus Devil, the game is completed 9 turns and looks like it is a close game, with the Fed actually being able to hit at range 8 with his photons, which is incredible. Good luck. It was really good luck by the... Sorry. He's not... Devil's not flying the Federation. He's flying the Klingon. I'm sorry. I usually play as the Fed. That's why I got confused. Sorry about that. When it comes to Platinum Hat 2017 tournament, doesn't seem like much progress, though I have been seeing emails going back and forth scheduling games. Also, round two, Peter Bakia has been busy working on his game 2.1. When it comes to the library report, sorry, no progress there. I have not seen anything new from people. So a percentage complete is still 70.6%. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just going to be me, actually. I got Barry waiting on hold at the moment. I will be letting him in just a moment. I was supposed to have Gary here. We've been working for the past 10 minutes to try to figure out the new Skype. And this new Skype, overall, well, it sucks. The only way to have it is a group session. The group session, you can't, when you call an actual phone number, it doesn't give you the ability to use a dial pad. So you can't actually, you know, use TalkShoe. So, you know, I was looking at the alternate connection for TalkShoe first, via Skype, and it would cost me like $3 a month, which I could probably handle it. I could eat the cost. But I look at it, it's like, okay, well, you still have to use the dial pad. It's like, so, it makes no difference. In the other case, I won't be able to use Skype, because Skype is being a bonehead. So, given that, well, I will not have Gary for tonight, and we'll see if I can drop Skype like a bad habit. And if we might actually have to move off of TalkShoe at some point, because of if that's the best I can do, you know, it makes things a lot more difficult, because there's no app that Gary could actually use to dial in on his smartphone. And, you know, so anyhow, that's a discussion for another day of possibly, you know, because I've talked about it before, the whole idea of using alternate form of communication, whether it might be just moving off TalkShoe completely, moving on to maybe Discord, and maybe have, if I want to have, I'm not sure how we do that. I'm just thinking about calling, have it so we can have a conference call with multiple people. And Skype at the moment, the only way to have a conference call is to actually have to set up all the people beforehand, so you can't add people after the fact. Thank you, Skype. Yeah. I wish I could. Yeah, I can't. But anyhow, yeah. In theory, I could. You know, that is a possibility, isn't it? It's actually me dialing in through my phone into Skype, and it gets really messy. I could actually, you know, in theory, what I could do is I could use my phone in conference call mode and actually call into TalkShoe and have a conference call, so that my Skype app actually calls my phone, and that phone acts as a bridge into TalkShoe. You want to talk about your freaking leaps? That's freaking nuts. But, and I'm not sure that would work. But anyhow, okay, let's get back to things. And that is that tonight, actually, we're supposed to have the topic tonight is supposed to be a year in review. Yes, all those lovely and wonderful products that ADB has produced in the past year. Unfortunately, not as many as we'd like, especially considering the current health issues with Steve Cole. So that kind of slowed things down a bit. And we wish him all the well, and, you know, wish him a quick and speed. Quick and speedy, yeah, same thing. quick recovery from that, you know, our prayers and thoughts are with him. So, Barry, how you doing?
Hey there.
How's things going on your side of the world?
Oh, okay. Busy.
Oh, I'm
Last week was like beyond fry. But yeah, it was one of those things where, oh, we need to make after working a 12-hour day. Oh, can you make a quick 24-hour service call to Austin, Texas? 24 hours, including the flight out and the flight back.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
You got.
Starting at 5 p.m. after I've worked a full day.
Barry, you got some pretty nutty people. You almost sound as bad as my neighbor where I used to live. But for him, he'd drive all over the place. But the thing is, he gets paid for driving. He's on the
Do I
clock
get paid?
as the time he walks in, he gets his butt in the truck and drives. So if he has to drive 8 hours, he gets paid on the clock for his normal wage for driving.
I'm on the clock when I'm traveling. So yeah, what the heck? But I didn't know. I knew Steve was not in great physical shape, but is this something new that happened to him, or?
He had two surgeries.
Oh my God, is he okay?
Yeah, he's recovering slowly. Doing much better than he was. He had a drainage tube put in. He was draining for a while, and actually had to go in and cut him open again because of it wasn't he wasn't recovering as well as he should have been. So, I forgot the surgery now. It's been over a month since it's been around a month since the second surgery. The first surgery was like 2 months ago.
Well, Godspeed on his recovery.
I've been announcing on the podcast, and also obviously it's been reported on the discussion board. I don't think it's been posted on the Facebook page though.
I haven't really checked a lot of that lately.
Well, then shouldn't be surprised that something's happening. Lord knows
Yeah,
Steve
there is
Cole
a
has
real
been,
world out there,
yeah, and Steve
I
Cole
hear.
has been having medical issues for years.
Well, I knew that. I knew that.
So
Yeah.
him having another medical issue is not a surprise.
Right.
But
Right. Oof.
so guest three, how you doing?
Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Well, it would have been a lot better if Skype worked, but I guess we're okay. So,
Yeah. Hey,
hello,
Gary.
Barry.
Hey, Gary.
So, yeah, actually, it's been a while since I've been called in. So, I guess in a lead in to the review thing, one of the big things that happened, of course, this year was the Shapeways thing. And I actually have six Shapeways miniatures I myself got recently that I'd like to do a quick talk about at some point, if that was okay.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I definitely
Yeah.
want.
Oh, you sound a lot better in direct instead of Skype, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's handy. But yeah, so basically, oh well, I've had two orders so far, and between them, I've got three Meteron ships. All my six ships are in frost ultra detail with 3125 scale, so they're to scale with the metal Starline 2500s that Mongoose may produce. So I have three Meteron ships, Dreadnought heavy cruiser and light cruiser, and I have the Vulpa blockade runner. And then I also have Romulan Demon Hawk Dreadnought. All five of those were designed by Matt Lawson. And then I also have Whittle McCammon's Galactic Survey Cruiser, the regular one, not the classic one. So the one I have has the panel lines on the saucer. And I've been afraid to try and paint them though, but they're really nice. I mean, like the GSC looks great. Like there's a lot of little details to help distinguish it from the regular CA, and the Demon Hawk is nice. Like you can actually see the two Sparrow Hawk and the Sea Hawk modules like on them there. And because up until recently, whenever the Demon Hawk was first uploaded, what they did is that they split the difference in terms of whether or not to give it the classic look or the Mongoose look. So as it stands, if you want to get the Demon Hawk in 3788 scale, it has the classic look. So it looks kind of boxy and the engines are pulled in and stuff. Whereas the 3125 has more of a mongoose style. So it's got like Klingon-y swooped down wings, and it's got a beautiful like extended prow. And what's even what's neat as well, because it's frosted ultra detail, the miniature is semi-transparent. A, it looks like it's cloaked, and B, when you look through the boom, it actually looks, you can see the dots to represent the windows, like on either side of the prow.
What exactly was a Demon Hawk? What was it? What is it?
It's basically, it was first published for SFB in Modular 7, and it's in, it's available for Fed Commander in Captain's Log 49.
It's
basically,
Romulan.
It's like a, bigger Firehawk, and it's got like, imagine it's got like three pairs of Sparrowhawk engines, and it's armed with, it's got like it's got enough room on the secondary hull for two Sparrowhawk modules and a Skyhawk module. So, for example, one of the combinations that you can get is a thing called the Red Hawk, where you can give it the PF tender modules of the Sparrowhawk and the PF tender modules of the Skyhawk. So the ship basically can control 12 PFs and becomes like the ultimate Andromedan RTN hunter. Sorry, Paul.
It's okay.
But I so wish it was the Romulan Dreadnought instead of the Condor, because it just looks so much better. I mean, in terms of fitting in with the Sparrowhawk and Skyhawk and stuff, and Firehawk and stuff. But I guess that ship has sailed. Although in Fed Commander, it's equally, you know, canon / non-canon order. So,
right. So it's basically a space control ship.
Well, that variant. But the handy thing is that most of the ship is modular. You can have it any variant you like. So if you want to turn it into a giant survey cruiser or a giant commando ship or a giant, just a regular combat ship or any other kind of combination you'd like, you can do that. So it's almost like an Eridani Dreadnought rather than a Romulan one. But but the model, as I say, it's really lovely. And I'm hoping that, because recently the ADB have been doing more Romulan ships, and what they've decided to do is that they're going to do, like, for example, the Sparrowhawk, the classic Sparrowhawk design came out earlier this month in both scales. And then in January, we're going to get the Mongoose-inspired Sparrowhawk in both scales as well. So I'm hoping that they'll do the same. They'll go back to the Demon Hawk and they'll release both designs in both scales, so that players have the choice of getting the one they like. And the Mesrons are actually quite nice. I mean, they have about four or five Omega Empires with some of their ships on Shapeways right now. There's Mesrons, Trogren, Kolagar, Drex, and Prober, and it's probably another one I'm forgetting. And then over the next four or five months, they're going to introduce a new empire each month. So Alanda is going to be in January. Then they're going to do things like the Vari, the Belosco, the Iridani, Chlorophons as well. And they're really looking forward to seeing like how they do, because of course, in the long run, over the next few years, I'm hoping that as the Federation starts getting their Terran ships, like the Light Cruiser and the Paul and stuff, that the door will then be open for Federal Republic of Aurora ships. They'd be really awesome. Oh, and actually, one thing that you might find interesting is that if you ever look at the SSDs for the various Mesron or ships, you'll notice that most of them have the same floating platform on the back with the tactical guns and most of the phasers and stuff. Well, the Shapeways miniatures actually have those on there. And they are common across the appropriate classes. So if you have, like, from the Destroyer up to the Dreadnought, they all have the same bit, like, on the miniature to represent the floating platform. But on the other hand, if you look at the Volpa Blockade Runner, because the Volpa ship has the firing platform removed, and that is actually incorporated into the design, as is the little two-box center warp engine. Like, you can see it sticking out the back of the center of the ship, so the Volpa ship actually looks a lot sleeker and like more stabby than the regular Mesron ships. And I guess that's in character with how the Volpa are meant to be more aggressive than standard Mesron like fleets or whatever.
How are you doing with your rules for the Federation Commander version of all of the Omegas?
I guess with but right now, I mean, I'm hoping that in the new year there'll be more movement in terms of like what's going to happen next for both SFB and Fed Commander. In the meantime, I've been trying to suggest more ships to go into issues of Captain's Log. So, yeah, I don't know if you recall that they did a set of Zaltzman Marauder ships in Captain's Log 50, and then in Captain's Log 52, they also did a base for the Zaltzmans, as well as a ship called the Fence Cruiser, which is like their main support ship. And with the Zaltzmans, the interesting thing is that because of the stealth fields that they need to maintain, stay hidden, their base had to be designed in order to allow them to deactivate the stealth field and still not get caught. So their Zaltzman syndicate bases actually look like fleet repair docks. And so there's room in it where you can basically dock the Zaltzman Marauder ships internally, and then they can have their stealth fields deactivated and be repaired or whatever. And the Fence Cruiser is basically like the size of a heavy cruiser, but it's got a massive cargo hold, so it can be used to ship resources to and from the Zaltzman home sector to the various Marauder cells that are like on the Omega Octant text map. So, of course, I mean, I think the Zaltzmans are pretty cool to see in Federation Commander as well. And also, the CL-52 also comes with an update file that's meant to give more information as far as like what the operating territories are for the Marauder cells, and what people would be advised in terms of like what weapons they should take and so forth. So there's some interesting combinations in there, like especially if they're near Chlorophon space, because the shield crackers, the Chlorophon energy harvesters, they're kind of shield crackery in terms of focusing primarily on shields, and for an empire like the Zaltzmans, who are all about piracy, that's a great thing for them to be able to take. So any cells near that territory should be, you know, should take as many of those as they can.
Sure, so, because it doesn't damage internals. It's all about shields.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you're going after freighters, you want to take their shields down quick and then beam over boarding parties, and what it's all about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I guess I would say that for, I mean, the biggest thing for Omega lately has been the Shapeways expansion, like the Shapeways presence, because I mean, this is like the first time ever that most Omega Empires have had any miniatures done for them. And someone must say that the quality is quite nice on them. Like in the Mistron, for example, like they even have, if you know, like if you ever look at the art for most of the Mistron ships, they have this kind of like gray city block kind of thing going on in the center of the hull. And then when you flip the miniature over, that same area, I mean, there's no, like it's flat, but it's raised up away from the primary hull, so it helps keep the that region distinct in terms of what the ship looks like. And each city block is different depending on whether you're on the Dreadnought or the heavy cruiser or whatever. So and then when it comes to the actual weapon mounts, they're quite distinct as well. So for example, most of the Mistron ships have the Type A tachyon missiles, and when you look at the miniature, you can actually see the three missiles sticking out of the launcher. And there's a variant that they have on Shapeways for the bombardment cruiser, which has the Type B missile racks, and they have five missiles. So you can actually see the five missiles. So the two of them are on top of the other three. And then similarly, the Troborn Empire, their ships have distinct designs for the implosion bolt and implosion torpedoes. So you can buy a variant, and it'll be recognizable that you've got implosion torpedoes or whatever on there instead of bolts or vice versa. And
hello, Gary?
Hello, yeah, sorry, I thought you were saying something, sorry.
I just said sweet.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's it'll be really interesting to see where things go from here. Each month, there's like basically there's at least one new ship that's added for however many empires exist at that point. And then there'll be one or two ships added for a new empire. So like the Drex have a couple of interesting designs so far as well. And they even have little hexagonal things on the prow, like near the prow of their central holes, to represent their CPU boxes. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see those kind of details on there. So I do hope that they, because look, in the long run, I mean, especially when you think of games that are more miniature oriented, like Call to Arms or Starmada, it'd be great if by the time Omega or any other non-alpha setting like LMC has gotten around to, that there'll be a critical mass of designs on Shapeways that players can go out and say, okay, let's go do this. And that also, that because if you look in the rule book for Call to Arms, each of the ship has like a picture of the miniature to help advertise it or to describe it. So, you know, it'd be nice if there was, if these designs could be used for that also, so that people can, you know, get a sense of just how cool some of this stuff is.
Right.
But, yeah, so there's been, so far, I guess, to look beyond my own little personal mini collection, Shapeways has been able to get a lot of stuff, like hundreds of designs. Although, I suppose one thing to bear in mind is the way that Shapeways works is that each scale of miniature is treated as a separate entry. And also, whether or not a ship is a quote-unquote classic design, or if it's either like got Aztec panelings, like some of the Klingons do, or if it's a mongoose design, like some of the Romulans, or that sort of thing. So, for example, if you look at, say, the Federation Heavy Cruiser, it's in there. There's like one entry for it in 3788, which is the old style in 2400 scale. There's one for it in 3125, which is the mongoose scale. And then there's the same two in quote-unquote classic version, which is basically without the saucers, like, are just smooth. Like, you have to, if you want to paint on the panel lines, you can, but they don't offer them a standard. Although, considering the way the materials that they're made out of, the panel lines are really smooth compared to the ones on the metal ships. Like, they're much less pronounced. So, and then the other thing is, when you're actually picking a miniature, you have a choice of different materials to choose from. So all of mine ones are in a material called frosted ultra detail, which is just kind of semi-translucent, but it's like a higher quality thing. So I guess for the Romulans, it gives them like a cloaked appearance if you don't want to paint them. But there's other cheaper materials, standard and flexible and stuff, and they can come in a number of different colors, like white or blue or green or whatever. So, I mean, they're still perfectly functional. So if you don't want to go quite so crazy in terms of getting a large number of ships without having to like break the bank, whatever, that's an option too. And there's actually even been, because what they do is most quote unquote standard empires will have their ships offered in both the 3125 and the 3788 scale, but certain units like monsters or star bases or whatever are or will be offered in a thing called Omni Scale, which is kind of like what they were doing with the old metal miniatures anyway. So, for example, they recently added a few ships from the Juggernaut Empire, and they are in Omni Scale, but they're still quite large. So, for example, the biggest one that they have on there so far is called Mistal Dreadnought, which is the same size as the regular Juggernaut, but it's got 18 silos to launch these Shriek missiles. So it's even more dangerous than the original Juggernaut or the second Juggernaut Beta that showed up. And there's also a miniature for the Juggernaut Heavy Cruiser. And the great thing about them being in resin is that they basically 3D print them as one piece. And they have them in bubble wrap like when they ship to you. So, because, like, for example, like if you have a look at the last metal Juggernaut, it was a great design, but it's really easy for the metal pipes to get bent out of shape or to come off and you have to glue them back on, or just the whole idea of even like any, like, say if you had a Klingon miniature and you had to glue the warp engines on or something, that could be quite difficult, like to get the angles right. Same with fed saucers, fed warp nacelles. But now with Shapeways, that's all taken care of it for you. So you just have to make sure you don't drop the miniature too many times when you get it. But it's like the GSC I have here, like, which Will McCammon did, the Collector Survey Cruiser. As I say, it just came in one piece right out of the box. So the only thing I'm worried about is the more I keep looking at it, the more it looks like the warp nacelles are splaying out to the back. But that might have just been me. I'm pretty sure that they were proper when I first got them. But, yeah, so There's a lot of cool stuff out there. And there's even some really great like Empire-specific stuff. Like, for example, if you look at the Tholian ships, some of the Tholian ships that are on there have special sensors. But they don't just have any regular special sensors. Because the Tholians hate circles and they're big into like hexagonal shapes and stuff, even the scouts that you get from Shapeways for the Tholians have hexagonal sensors on them. And you can go so far as to, they have variants. Like, for example, if you want a fast patrol ship tender, there's a version of their miniature that has six little Tholian PFs stuck on there. I think it's a space control ship that has little spider fighters. So you know the Tholian carriers, the fighters are all like externally. So right. you can get a miniature that has those little things on there. So if you're crazy enough to paint that, then you can do that. But they've gone to a lot of effort to really push the boat out with the Shapers thing. Like it says here, like on their webpage, on the storefront on Shapers, I think all items comes up to 409. And I don't even know if that's 6 months worth. I mean, like it's. Do you remember, Paul? Was it June or July when Shapeways started for ADB?
Yeah, I'm thinking July. Oh no, it must. Well, it must have been June. I think it was June. And this.
Might have been July. I don't know. I was out in California at the time. Remember, I was at Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve and
when the artists were on.
Yes.
The sculptors.
Yeah, the sculptors. I think that was July or August that I was out in California when that talk show came on.
That's possible, but it's. I can't remember. It was either like late June or early July was when the initial store was open.
Something like that.
And then they tried to keep up a little bit too big, high of a pace. And they realized, this is going to kill us. So they slowed it down.
And they've even been... Because the things have like... I guess slowed down, but they're still like I guess a healthy clip, whatever. But it's interesting how Shapeways is actually also offering the opportunity to fix a few things that were either in the metal or mongoose in terms that weren't quite right. So, for example, I think in January, February, there's going to be a Siltorian hive ship mini, and it's actually going to have the proper number of bays because the metal hive ship slash battle wagon mini has only 6 bays. So really, it's a nest ship slash salt wagon, but on Shapeways, there's going to be a proper 8-bay one. And then Matt Lawson says that he's planning to create the 6-bay nest ship slash assault wagon for February. So for any Saltorian players who are still-minded, will have the opportunity to get the appropriate size death-dealing giant object spear-killing thing, you know. So, I do hope that... there'll be more opportunity for not just like, you know, expected factions like the Andromedans for ISC, but also some more non-alpha stuff like maybe some of the Empires of the Magellanic Cloud or even Triangulum. Like if they're, I guess it depends on whether or not their SSDs count as being like proper enough to go through or not. So, but and then there'll be other, even in the Alpha Octant, there's some Empires that have never had miniatures before, like the Paravians, for example. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up getting designs based on what you have for them in Module C6.
Yeah.
So people will be able to... and then, I guess, if we ever get around to seeing what the Paravians look like in Omega, I doubt that they'd get, like, distinct models for that, but I suppose, like, if the C6 Paravians get any miniatures, then they could just be brought over. Yeah. So.
Right, because I would think that their design would be pretty close to the same, given that they are the same race, basically. They're exiles to a certain degree. They escaped the great disaster from the Sun Snake. went to the Omega part of the galaxy. You know, so I would think that the design of the ship should be relatively the same. Maybe some tweaks here and there, but, you know.
Yeah, so the main difference will be some of the alternate weapons that they're going to get because, the Paravians in Module C6, they're actually pretty,
weapons. But the weapons are usually just little blips. You know, little pips on the ship, not really much detail.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, again, if you look at some of the empires that are in Shapeways right now, like if you look at the Misron ship, it's quite distinct looking at the Tachyon missile racks relative to the Tachyon guns, for example. So, one could basically say that whatever the Paravians get, it'll look the same and from the outside, and who cares, which is probably fair, but in theory, I suppose. If any future designer was crazy enough, then they could consider it. But of course, that's probably putting the cart before several horses.
Right, and agreed. And it's possible. But really, would it be worth the effort to say, oh, yeah, the difference, they had this extra line here. You know, or something along those lines. You know, I doubt it. You know, especially since then it'd be... You'll be able to use it both for early years and for Omega.
Right. Well, the early years would be a whole other ball of wax. And then, of course, there's the opportunity of things like X-ships and stuff. I mean, we've never really... I think there's like one X-ship that was done by accident, I think, for the old 2400s. But we've never really had a proper look at X-technology in miniature form. And I guess Shapeways would be perfect for that because just imagine how cool the... Like if you look at the GSC as it is now, just imagine how much cooler it'll look like as a GSX, and then you've got things like the Klingon DX.
Yeah, you know how those X ships are.
Do they ever get around to getting the second generation X ships?
No,
finalized or
no,
that...
they're not. Not even close. They know. My understanding is that Steve Cole has ideas about how he wants that to go, especially with. They're going to release second generation X ships when the Zorkalians get released. You know, it's kind of together.
No, it's. I think the Zorks are going to be, from what I gather, they're on hold, and that the X2 will get, like the first X2 will go on first. But the main holdup has been logistical and also medical because of what's been happening with
Steve,
at AEP or whatever. But generally, the main thing has been. Each time a new SFB or SFC module gets printed, usually they come in countersheet. The countersheets that are done for them have to be in batches of four. So, for example, I'm pretty sure that when module C6 was printed, it was printed around the same time as FC Reinforcements Attack and maybe one of the Starfleet Marines games and that sort of thing. You know, like two other things. And that can also include reprints. So it just so happened that... some of the modules that had been talked about for reprint end up getting reprint anyway, because I guess they got to the point where they need to do four modules worth at once. So so basically, no one's really sure, I mean, outside of ADB, no one's really sure as to like what will allow. But in theory, it'd be interesting if it basically allowed like X2, which will for sure be the next SFB module, and then whichever of the choices of new FEDCOM module will be, and then whatever else ADB have up their sleeves, or if there's like another module or two that runs out of counters and stuff. So.
Yeah. On a personal note, I texted Paul a photo a few minutes ago. I don't know if you saw the details on that, Paul.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Patrick Stewart confirmed that this. You know, basically, Star Trek Blueprints is my personal collection. Yeah.
From Patrick Stewart's personal collection.
Yeah.
That's right. And it is the original Franz Joseph USS Enterprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've recognized the blueprints. Trust me.
Yeah. It's like, that was under the Christmas tree this year. And it's like, oh, my God. that's like, I know this crowd, it would be, oh, yeah.
Oh, agreed. It's Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. That one was special.
Agreed. That one was special. Agreed. I think anyone would like that. Yes.
Gamers of Winter, I guess, is sadly it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I saw that. That's confirmed.
I talked to Doug tonight, and he said that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
And unfortunately, assuming that it was going to be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I accepted a job, a project. I'm going to be out of town on Friday.
Right. Understood.
Ew.
Yeah. I'll have to consider what I'm going to do about the 12th.
Yeah.
Because normally, you know, I do it on Saturday and Sunday, and he has it also on Monday, but I usually take off Monday because of, like, spend that time just with my family, you know. And Lord knows,
right,
this Monday is kind of more important than others because it's going to be my birthday. My birthday is the 15th.
It's coming.
January 15th.
15th is your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday. Thanks. A little in advance.
A little in advance, yeah. A little early, but yeah, thank you. Gonna be 53.
I picked up Terraforming Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get... that looked like a fun game.
Oh, yeah. I saw Tony Thomas post a picture of it on Facebook. And I went, oh, man, that looks like a good game.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Oh, Paul, I was going to say, if you're looking for something to get yourself for your birthday, then later in January, it's going to be a delayed birthday, Christmas, I suppose. But later in January, there's going to be a new tabletop, coffee table book coming out called The World of the Orville. So it's going to be like a bunch of like information about like the ships and the behind the scenes stuff or whatever. So
I probably should watch the show.
That would be why.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet, Paul?
No.
Oh my God! Do you have Hulu?
No. Don't have Hulu.
Yes, watch
don't have.
I think you can watch
real
it for free
TV.
in the US on Fox anyway, the Fox app or website or whatever. Because in Canada, it's
you've
streamed
got
by
to watch Orville. Oh my God, it's great. If you're watching Star Trek Discovery, which is horrible.
No, I'm not watching that either.
Well,
my understanding, you have to be on like CBS.
If you're
something.
Well, Star Trek Discovery is a waste. Don't even waste your time. It's not even Star Trek. It sucks. Now, Star Trek Continues, the YouTube one, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I've heard.
So,
I think your mother told me. Your wife told me.
Yeah, and the Orville, oh my God, that is classic Star Trek, but it's not Star Trek. It is really well done.
Depends upon... the one thing that I heard about is that obviously it's a comedic version. It's, you know, it's not, there's a lot of, you know, it's not, it's kind of like Star Trek, but it's not Star Trek. And it's, you know, it's supposed to be basically funny, you know, a lot of,
it is funny, but it is in a lot of ways, it is like Star Trek. And it gets the right elements of Star Trek. Now, you want classic canon Star Trek that even Rod Roddenberry has declared is canon? Star Trek Continues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that or not.
No, I've not seen that either.
Oh. Well, it's on YouTube, so I know you can get it. And Star Trek Continues is freaking awesome. Even Rod Roddenberry says it's canon. And some of the actors they got on there are John DeLancey was one of the guest stars. And they've got, not, what was it? Can't remember his name. Last name is Doohan. Scotty's James Doohan's son,
right,
plays Scotty on Star Trek Continues.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he does a good job of it too.
Huh? Understood.
Yeah, and the music they got. I don't know how they were able to get away with it, but they used the classic music from Star Trek. And I'll tell you something. When I watched Star Trek Continues, I realized that Star Trek Continues, of all the series they had, every single one of the series, Star Trek, the original series, had the best music.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as good as the Star Wars music by John Williams. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
But you forget about it. You don't realize it. But when you watch Star Trek Continues, it's like they nailed it. They absolutely nailed that. Highly recommend it. Sadly, I have to get to sleep.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
All right, good night.
Bye.
Cool. Well, obviously that goes through all the Shapeways stuff. And that's just part one. Because that's not the only thing that happened this year. Believe it or not. There's some minor things like a new Captain's Log. Captain's Log number 52 came out, which was quite nice, including a preview to what happened later in the year. And that was, of course, Star Mata Unity. I know some people aren't here, might not be as excited as I am, because I really like Star Mata. I've bought every single copy. I have to get the actual physical copies of the Klingon and Romulan versions of the Unity versions. I haven't got those yet. I gotta get those. But I do have the actual physical copies of the core books for Unity. So, had to have those. Star Mata Unity. The core books were released in April of this past year. Might even be a little bit early in April. I grabbed the copy of the rules in April. I pre-ordered it, and for some reason it took me a while to actually realize, oh, that it came out. Don't ask me why it took me so long. The only ones that have been published when it comes to the Unity versions are Klingon and Romulan. They have not released Alien Distant, I think Distant something, or the Battleship.
Distant Armada? I think they're all something Armada.
They're all Armada. That's why I'm not mentioning Armada.
With the exception of the one that's going to have the IC and Andromedans, there's I forget what the term they're going to use for that one. Rumors of Wars or something like that.
That's possible. I don't remember. Honestly, I've not really heard about what the name of that one's going to be. I just heard they're going to have both of them, which is going to be interesting how they do the Andromedans. Hey. Well, just because of the whole concept of there is no energy in when it comes to Star Armada. So how do you represent shields that actually, the only way I can think of is you have shields that can regenerate relatively quickly, though it still doesn't quite, the flow doesn't quite work as the same as SFB because of, for SFB, the whole thing is energy and the whole thing is balancing energy, both coming in and going out. You know, that's that whole system there is that's one thing I love about the Andromedans. You always, actually, it's also very frustrating about the Andromedans is that you're constantly thinking about how in the heck do I get this energy out of my PA panels? You're constantly trying to figure that out. And it's not just, oh, we just do this. No, there's no secret to the sauce. There's no secret sauce. There is no secret ingredient. Yes. Sorry. I started thinking about Kung Fu Panda. And of course, then there is unfortunately, only two more Master Starship books that came out this year, which was The Lyran and the Eldar, which from looks, actually, I went over to the store, and it seemed like the Lyrans were popular, but the Eldar didn't feign a mention, which wouldn't surprise me because of, come on, let's be honest here. The Lyran and the Eldar, there aren't going to be much differences there overall when it comes to the ships that are going to be in the books. Obviously, there's history that's different between the two. And the names of the ships that are available on those, the different kinds of ships, you know, heavy cruiser. I think there's only, was there only like a single heavy cruiser in the LDR fleet? I think I remember that.
Yeah, they started off when they became independent. They had one CA, one CL, one DD, and one FF. And they basically had to try and figure out ways to max out the effectiveness of both the CA and the CL. So they really depended a lot on like smaller ships, like the military police ships, like the ones where basically they took a police cutter and like war cruiser fight it. So it's got like three engines and like a trimaran hull or whatever. I think the Lyran Empire itself picked that design up later. So, but yeah, because I'm pretty sure that the heavy cruiser eventually ended up becoming an LDR X-ship, and then it was lost during the Andromeda invasion and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously the number of ships for LDR would be much less, and as I said, there'd be tweaks to its capabilities. And of course, something which Harley... which AB, you know, insists on saying that they don't sell, and that might be the possibility, but fortunately, this, which is FedCom Scenario Log 2, which is obviously a book about that has a list of scenarios. Since I don't think they're actually selling a physical book, I don't think they are, or if they are, it's print on demand, so it doesn't cost them nearly as much, except for obviously if they're doing print on demand. And the question would then be, are they actually buying covers? You know, separate covers, in which case you have to order so many of the covers. And I would think that they have to say, okay, there's not going to be a cover. It's just going to be completely black and white, like, crap. I know that ADB created another product where they didn't have an actual cover. They just had they just printed out black and white, and that was it.
Maybe some of the playtest material is like that?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think all the playtest material is like that. I thought there was another product that they did with that just because...
Oh, actually, speaking of 2017, they did the revised edition of Module C3 as well.
Oh yeah. Did they release an update to Module C2, or was that last year?
That was 2016.
Okay, because I know that's been basically Steve Petrick's bane of his existence for a couple of years now, which is updating the SMB products, you know, ones that have been around for so long that they really need, it's time to sit down and update them. You know, and obviously one thing that ADB has not done, which I'm still waiting for them to do at some point, is to update the graphics. You know, which obviously that's a lot of work to convert it from its current incarnation to something new, which was, as I've mentioned before, is my biggest concern, is that ADB is going to go, oh, you know, the look that we have for the third gen stuff, you know, for SMB Online, well, you know what, we're going to use it for our actual printed version and just kill me. So you're going to have to change yours again. It's like, oh, no, you got to be kidding me.
SMB is kind of like, you know, I mean, like there's there's things like Fedcom and like other game systems that have more use for more kind of colory things. But I think there's something to be said for, because even when you look at, say, like another game system that's been around for a while, like BattleTech, like its record sheets still look fairly similar to the ones that have been around before. But on the other hand, you do have like more faster playing games like Alpha Strike, which have more, you can have like more abstract unit cards that you can do in color and make fancy and stuff. But the game system suits that better. So I think that's, but I think really interesting, what I actually think, what I would like in terms of updating modules, like the one module I really want to see fixed is module X1, because it's been just so long since even that version of, like there's so many things in the printed version of X1 that are just plain wrong now, or that need to be updated, even just like to get the SSDs up to the standard from X1R, or to get rid of things like overloaded phasers or misfires, or all the rules from X1 that have been revised since X1R.
Right,
and I think X1R came out like nearly 10 years ago, and X1 is like, especially because
it's been that long. That
with X2 on the horizon, yeah. I mean, like, I want to say that X1R was like 2007, 2008, or something like that.
Dang,
but
wouldn't surprise me. It's just that, you know, it's, I was thinking about it, it's like being 10 years, like, holy freaking cow,
yeah. So, but then there's the whole like, you know, logistics behind that and stuff, so.
Oh, understood.
Might be a lot of easier kills before then.
Right, especially the updating of actual SSDs. You know. Because some, obviously, the easier ones are just updating the rules. Harder ones are actually updating graphics. So.
Yeah.
I think.
But, I guess we'll see how things go. Because hopefully, you know, with 2018, things will be on a better footing. And but I guess on the plus side is that this seems to be the thing we can, I suppose depend on is probably not the right word for it, but the one thing that seems to be holding steady is the rate of new Shapeways development. So it's good to see that there will still be, you know, new items hitting the virtual shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully raising awareness and, you know, doing what I think basically even the Mongoose miniatures couldn't, although I guess the difference there is that there aren't really any brick and mortar stores that would be carrying Shapeways. You'd have to just go and order everything online, so there's that side. So, but
it's this whole move towards printing on demand. You know, on individual piece wise, it's more expensive, but overall, the investment in money is less. You know, the upfront costs are less. You still have all the research and development and all that kind of thing that you need to do, but you don't have to produce so much product beforehand and then pray that you sell everything. Case in point, Star Fleet Battle Force. I would love to know what the current number of boxes he's got in the warehouse. Still. For what? It's a 25-year-old game or something? It's a pretty old game at this point. Even though, you know, if people want to buy it, please buy it. Because The graphics that are on the cards still hold up to the test of time. They really do. They were high quality, beautiful graphics on those cards. You know. So, you know, if I recall correctly, they can't, the card size, they can't even get those anymore. My understanding from Steve Cole is that to do an update to Starfleet Battle Forces, you have to redo it from scratch because you can't get those cards anymore.
But I guess since Barry won't be at the Gamers of Winter, then I suppose trying to buggy it to bring him the Zosman SSDs probably wouldn't be worth it. But have you considered, I don't know, like when it comes to doing any demo games, do you usually just use counters or do you use miniatures as well?
I usually just use counters. You mean at like Gamers of Winter and Gamers of Summer, that kind of thing? And actually when I'm demoing, I try to use miniatures when possible.
Mm-hmm. Because what I was thinking is if you haven't already considered it, like maybe you should have a check at the Shapeways thing yourself and see if there's any figures that you like the look of. I mean, of course, I'm sure the Saltorians would probably be, well, I guess whenever they eventually get around to the Andromedans as well, but I wonder if any of the Omega or other kind of empires would look interesting to you, even just like to have something to kind of like, you know, solidify the presence of these other options that are in the SFU. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I should look at it because I know that I have, you know, one thing I do bring is I bring the collection of ships that Aaron Staley painted for me many, many, many years ago. They still hold up quite well. You know, I keep good care of them, and you know, so I use those. You know, as the Federation has the Klingon, has the Orion, BR. It has the Gorn. You have the Wynn GBS. I'm pretty sure also I have the Romulan, the KE, you know, the King Eagle, that miniature, mm-hmm. or one that represents that anyway. And I forget if I have the Liren or not. I don't think I have a Liren, but I have the Andromedans, but I have this big collection of Andromedans that Aaron Staley gave me. They're like two collections of Andromedan fleets that I currently have in boxes because of, i.e. I moved. And the shelving that I actually had for holding them, I sold.
Well, at the very least, if you wanted to give all your miniatures something to shoot at, then some of those juggernauts and stuff might be handy as like a monster for people to try and deal with.
Oh, agreed. I have to look at it. If I'm going to buy something, I got to buy it really quick because of, you know, the Gamers of Winter is coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah, because I think the Shapeways, they've stopped delivering this side of 2018. So I don't know like what it's going to be like for you, but I guess if you're in you're in the U.S., so maybe it'll be easier than crossing the border. So,
mm-hmm. Right, I don't have to worry about, you know, the customs. I don't know why I could not remember that name. Because right now I got some AirPods, yay, coming from China. So I've been keeping an eye on them. Yeah, I got a bonus at work, so you know, part of that bonus was that I was gonna splurge myself a little bit and get a set of AirPods, which are like $160. So I normally wouldn't buy them, but it's like I get tired of my AirPods, where the wire, you know, I have it plugged in my phone. I'll be walking around the house with my phone like on my belt and AirPods in my ears, and it gets caught on a doorknob and just yanks them from my ears. And I get tired of that. So it's like, I need the AirPods because I'm tired of them being yanked down my ears.
Well, just as I was saying, I don't think you have to use Hulu to check out Orville. I don't know if they still have them on there, but I gather that the whole season one is available on the Fox's website or app or whatever, because it's a little bit different up here in Canada because there's on a channel here called City TV, but they usually only show the last few weeks worth of episodes. So mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, so I should probably
wasn't Orville available? What, I could have sworn it was either, no, I'm thinking, I'm wrong thing I think Star Trek Discovery that was available on Netflix outside the U.S. I think that was...
Orville has recently started, I think, in the U.K. and Ireland on Fox U.K., which is, over there is just a cable specialty channel.
Right.
But for Discovery, it's CBS All Access in the U.S. It's on a TV channel called Space here in Canada. And streaming-wise, it's on a service called Crave TV, which is owned by the same people who own Space. Hmm. And outside the U.S. and Canada, it's on Netflix. So in Ireland and the U.K., for example, on Netflix.
Okay, so that...
So it's...
Okay, so that's what I was thinking of. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, with that, I think we will wrap up for this evening. I actually, believe it or not, I ran out of time when it comes to recording the news portion. It's been a crazy week because I've been off of work, so everything else has been kind of, you know, off kilter, off my normal schedule. But anyhow, Gary, I'm glad you were able to call in. We were able to chat about Shapeways and the different minis and some of the wonderful products that EB has produced this year.
So, thank you, and Happy New Year, and best wishes to you and the EB community in 2018.
Amen. You have a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. So we had a nice little discussion there, as I said, you know, about the different products that AAB has produced for this past year. Extensive talk about the Shapeways Minis, and because Lord knows, come on, it was the biggest thing of the year was the Minis. You know, obviously, great thing was the Stormata Unity and then bringing those two things together, and I think they're doing a good job there. Those were the two biggies for the year. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.